Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio talk show and podcast. I keep forgetting to add that, and I have post-it notes where they're telling me to remind me. Anyhow, yes, we're also, after the show airs, the live show, we convert it to a podcast. So there you go. And that's how the majority of people actually listen to our show, so that's pretty neat. Anyhow, tonight I'm very, very excited. It's a killer week for me down here. It's my crunch week. Working on lots and lots of paintings for the holiday commissions. So it's nice to be able to take a little time tonight and, let my arm rest and talk to a very, very cool filmmaker tonight. He's got a new movie that just came out, and I'd like to welcome Mr. Jeremy Summerall. The name of the movie is Pickaxe. Jeremy, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Trying to stay warm down here and frigid Texas.
Oh, man. Whereabouts in Texas are you out of? Where are you at right now? Like, which area?
The way that I usually tell people is that I live near Houston. The truth of the matter is I live in a tiny, tiny, tiny little town about an hour north. But the general Houston area is what people tend to know. So I just tell them that because nobody knows where New Waverly is. So
right. I was just talking to a friend of mine in Houston a little earlier today, and she was like, yeah, it's rain because it's hot. I'm in South Florida and it's hot, super hot. We've had some cooler weather, but today it's like a furnace down. It's hot and humid. It's terrible. And
it was really hot yesterday here, and then this morning it was like 40 degrees just overnight.
That's what she was saying. I'm hoping that travels over. Put me back
right
in the Christmas spirit. Man.
Right.
Yeah, it was bad. And the thing is, I don't even know why. Well, I know why I live here, but you know, I'm a chunky monkey, man. And South Florida is rough sometimes. I got to tell you, woo! It's like I'm wearing an astronaut suit around.
I'm a bigger boy as well, and I've been a Texan my entire life. That's the only place I've ever lived. I've traveled all over the place, but this is the only place I've ever lived, and I still am not necessarily used to the very rapid weather changes that we get around here.
Oh, it's crazy. It's crazy. Well, no, it's interesting. You live in a small town. Now, see, I can just picture it. I'm seeing the scene. Somebody's driving on their way to Houston, maybe, and they get turned around and they wind up in this little town and they run into Jeremy Summerall and he makes them into a star. They had no idea they were going to meet a movie producer, and see, everybody thought I was going a different direction with that.
Right.
That's pretty cool. Now, is this the town? Did you grow up in this town?
We moved here when I was like 8 years old. So like I'm dating myself here, like 1985. And I went through the school system here, graduated from high school, moved around a couple of times, but never more than about a half hour away. And, and I moved back home, 5 years ago or so, actually not long after we filmed Pickaxe, I moved back home, bought a little place and just been living here ever since. But, you know, I'm close enough to Houston where if I need to go and do production meetings or something, I could just hop in my car and be down there within an hour or so. I love it out here though. It's super, super quiet. And yeah,
I'm in a similar situation with Miami. Everybody, I love my brand is I love Miami. Driving in Miami sucks. But I'm close enough. If I have to get down there, I can. And you know, that's just
right.
How it is. But yeah, I hear you, man. I hear you. Well, let me ask you this, Jeremy. No, this is a cool film, Pickaxe. We're going to be talking about it. But before we get into that, I was looking at your IMDb. Man, you've been doing this for a minute here. About 10 years, right?
The first film that I worked on called Sweatshop, I played the killer in. I did that in The end of 2007 actually is when we started it. Actually, right around this time, October, November 2007. And I've just been kind of grinding away at it ever since. Worked on, you know, a handful of productions in town. And yeah, I mean, I've been extremely, you know, fortunate to know a lot of really cool filmmakers and help out on a lot of their projects. And then in return, have them help out on all my craziness too. So it's pretty, pretty cool little thing.
That is awesome. Let me ask you this. When you were a kid, when you were a youngster, you know, they're in the 80s, and and your movie Pickaxe makes a lot of sense to me, too, because I grew up in that same era. When you maybe a couple years older, but, yeah, I saw many slasher films at drive-ins way back in the day and loved
right.
it and have missed it, you know. Did you know that film and filmmaking this is what you were going to be doing? Or did you have, you know, other things you thought was your life going to be your life work?
It's funny. My folks have always said that they knew that I would go into one branch of entertainment or the other. They always pretty much assumed that I would either be an actor or a rock star, because those were my two big loves at the time was something to do with movies or TV or music. And actually for a very long time, I was pursuing music as a career. I didn't get anywhere with it, of course. I played in a bunch of different garage bands, and I worked with a couple of different bands as a roadie for a while, but ultimately, you know, I wound up falling in love with filmmaking. I just didn't think that I could do it in this town. And by that, I even mean Houston. I didn't think anybody made films in Houston. Until I met Stacy Davidson, the director of Sweatshop, and he kind of proved that, you know, we could make movies here and make them for really little money but really, really good quality. So, film, TV, music, it's all been, you know, passions of mine since kindergarten, I think. I think my mother even has memory books of when I was growing up that, where I would say what I want to be when I grow up. And it was always either a rock star or an actor or, and this is weird to me now, but a baseball player. But I never had the aptitude for sports like growing up. Like I played Little League, but that's pretty much it. Yeah.
I gotcha. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with right. watching a good game of baseball every once in a while, you know?
right. I'm good at watching. I'm not so good at the playing. So I leave that to the athletes, you know?
I'm that way with boxing. I really like watching boxing and like MMA and stuff, but no, I would.
Right.
My go-to fighting move is running away.
Right. That's mine, too. Like, I was bullied all through school. I never learned how to fight back.
Well, it's interesting. And, you know, I would feel bad for any bullies that ran into Alex with his pickaxe and whatnot. Alex
yep.
Black, you know, you don't want to cross him. Of course,
right,
ladies and gentlemen, that's the antagonist. That's the killer in the Pickaxe movie.
In Pickaxe, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, very cool. Let me ask you this. Now, you've done this. You know, you've been around this film. You've been doing this for more than a decade and stuff. So you know, my hat goes off to you, sir. Because I mean, the entire I'm not in the movie business, but just the thought of making a feature film sends my mind whirling. I'm like, gosh, how do you, I mean, cause this is like usually, people I've talked to at least, this can be, you know, like a year long process from start to finish. I mean,
yeah, and in some
when
cases,
you had
even
the
longer.
Idea, did you figure this was, I mean, how do you approach that, you know, as an artistic guy?
Well, you know, it's weird. The way I fell into filmmaking is kind of bass-ackwards for most people. Around the age of 25, which was now almost 18 years ago, I had a bit of a quarter life crisis and found myself at a crossroads when it came to music, and decided to. I would always be interested in writing scripts, because I always considered myself a writer first and foremost.
Gotcha.
So I actually started taking some scriptwriting courses at a local college. But at the time, again, I had the mentality that you couldn't make films here. And my professor at the time actually told us, like, you're in Houston, you're basically considered a flyover state as far as entertainment, you know, as far as filmmaking is concerned. But of course, I remembered people like Robert Rodriguez and Richard Linklater and others that made films in Texas to, you know, varying degrees of success in various size movies. So, but I pursued the screenwriting thing for a bit. And then I started meeting filmmakers in 2007, like I said, Stacy Davidson. I met him at the premiere of one of his, I think it was his first movie, which wound up being called Domain of the Damned at the time. And through that, he had an organization called the Houston Filmmakers Organization, I believe is what it was called. It's been so long now. But I met a bunch of different people that worked in various capacities on film sets in town, and everybody would ask me, when are you going to direct the film? When are you going to direct the film? And again, at the time, I had no desire to be a director. I considered myself more of a writer. But through working on Sweatshop, one day Stacy did ask me, like, you know, hey, you ever consider directing? If you can sit at a monitor and call action and cut, you can be a director. Of course, I thought he was kidding. You know, it is a little more complicated than that. But it was around that time that I started thinking, you know, if I were to do a movie, obviously my heart and soul when it comes to horror is with the slasher films of the 80s, that roller coaster style, you know, over the top boobs and blood kind of film. And I started creating this backstory for this character, which ultimately became Alex Black. At the time, he was named something completely different. I couldn't even tell you what it was at this point. But I had various movies, like for an entire franchise, figured out for this character, but I had no idea where to start. Something crazy in me said you should make the third one first. And I decided that's what I was going to do. And that ultimately, that's what wound up being Pickaxe. Originally, it was titled The Pickaxe Murders Part 3, The Final Chapter. And that's what it was when we were filming it. But we ultimately changed the title when we got distribution. There were some rumblings that people might be confused. And even throughout making it, people wondered where Part 1 and Part 2 were. So I understand it. But and we referred to it as Pickaxe as a form of shorthand anyway, so I was totally fine with the name change, and it's proven to be a pretty successful little movie here. I mean, I would have not guessed that this goofy little idea I had in my head to make a slasher sequel to a movie that never existed would get the kind of attention that we are now. So
I love it.
I'm pretty happy.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Metal Babe Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's mbmmusicllc.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com. to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's ROXX, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi folks, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of historical, cool historical books, like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and, of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool. And these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com. 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 Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
Oh, it's fantastic. Well, I was wondering, because I had watched the film, and, you know, it was fantastic. I loved it. I loved it. It
Thank
reminded
you.
Me
Thank
so
you,
much of, you know, many, many years ago, and me and my friend, you know, who, everybody, it cracks me up. People, I'm not per se, I mean, I like all kinds of movies, but the thing is,
sure.
You know, at that time of my life, you know, yeah, we liked seeing boobs and people getting cut in half. That was pretty cool stuff to us, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
And go figure, teenagers still like that, you know? And not
right.
Just teenagers either, but people do. You know, and it's funny because, you know, I have some highbrow artsy-fartsy friends that are like, oh, well, horror movies. And I'm like, yeah, go research the Grand Guignol in Paris and, you know,
exactly.
1878, you know, I mean, if you want to get highbrow, we can get highbrow, but the thing is, yeah. People like it. This is why Disney World does so well, because, you know, people like roller coasters, you know,
exactly.
They like to be...
People like to have, they like to have that feeling that it's a safe form of being scared. And that's why horror,
exactly.
Since the dawn of time, one of the first stories was horror. I mean, like, I actually, not too long ago, right after we had the release date for Pickaxe announced, I was promoting it in a group on Facebook, of course, because that's what you do as a good filmmaker. And this woman actually kind of bitched me out for making horror movies and said literally that my type of films are precisely why the world is in the state that it is now. And I had to laugh because
yeah.
I thought, okay, yes, it's strictly the movies that I make that has caused all the problems across the world. Like, okay, the Crusades didn't exist. The Holocaust didn't happen. You know, the Dark Ages, all of that. That's because of movies, right? So I had to laugh, you know, and say, you know, well, maybe people are just fucked up. Maybe that's why the world is the way it is. You know,
not original. I mean, every, you know, yes, we live in an age where there's all these crazy killers. And I mean, you know, it happens all the time. But I got to tell you, from an artistic and marketing standpoint, from that, all these killers that we have in the world are really dull. Nobody goes into a place, you know, they go into a place with a shotgun. They don't go into a place with a pickaxe and a mask on, you know, a welding helmet and start.
Right.
That would be interesting to see. That would be something new
right.
and original. I'm not saying people should do that. I'm joking.
Of course.
I mean,
of course. And that's, it always trips me out too when people assume, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just going to say, if your movies and movies like yours were to blame, you know, we would be, there would be crime scenes with intestines hanging from hooks in the ceiling and stuff.
Absolutely.
That's happened a few times, but not, you know, in American history, I'll say, but not, nobody's going in today to do this. They're going in because, you know, their boss pissed them off and they went crazy and going to shoot up the office.
Right.
It's not
everybody
material.
Right. Everybody needs a scapegoat. That's why they've blamed heavy metal music and video games and horror movies since the dawn of time. But I've learned throughout my 40 plus years that the people that are into those things, be it metal music or video games or horror movies or what have you, are usually the most down to earth, respectable type of people. They just happen to have weird fucking hobbies. So, it's always the crazy, like, anti-gay politicians that wind up, you know, you find out that they are, in fact, gay, You know, and there, and again, there's nothing wrong with being homosexual. But there's these politicians that want to rail against things like that so hard, and they wind up being the exact thing that they hate. And exactly. I feel like that's horror movies, metal music, video games, they all get a bad rap for that reason. But yet 99% of the people that I've met in these groups are totally cool, laid back people that you just want to share a drink with and a few laughs.
Exactly. And, you know, it's, and we're talking fantasy and whatnot. And it's just, I don't know. You're always going to have people, like you said, that look for scapegoats. That's just how it is, you know. But
yeah.
The thing is, here's the great thing, Jeremy. You know you're doing something right when there's some checker guy in the back of the theater bitching about it. You know,
yeah.
It's like, oh, my art has moved that person. They're feeling it.
And,
you know, if everybody's just like,
honestly,
and walked out of the theater.
And honestly,
you
that woman that gave me. That woman that gave me that quote spurred me on like nobody's business. I mean, like, this is the greatest thing to happen for me. I put it on a
right.
I put the quote on a T-shirt, and
right.
and we're planning on selling them to raise money for the next film. Because I mean, like, that is a badge of honor to me. Like, come on.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. It's that's fantastic. I love it. I love it. I love it. Hey, I just saw on your IMDb. And we, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to talk about this film, but I don't want to give too much away about it, but we're going to talk about, about it. But I just saw, because I'm fascinated, Jeremy, you're a fascinating fella. Now, you have a horror movie memorabilia outlet as well?
Yeah, it's been pretty much on hold since I started filmmaking. I actually started a company called Necrobilia back in 2005, I believe. Pardon me, my chihuahua is trying to get up and get on the phone with me. Yes, Pepper, sit down, sweetheart.
We love you,
yes, Pepper. Big, scary, bearded metal fan has a tiny little chihuahua, and she rules my life, let me tell you. Necrobilia is a company that I created years ago to meet other horror fans because, again, living in this tiny little town, I didn't know of any horror fans, and I really, at the time, didn't know of any horror fans in Houston. And it's through Necrobilia doing conventions like Texas Frightmare Weekend, Days of the Dead, Horror Hound Weekend, and all that, that I wound up networking and meeting all the filmmakers. So I haven't actually actively sold as Necrobilia in a very long time. I still have, like, all my old logos and stuff, but I haven't used it in a very long time, and there's been a time or two where I felt like resurrecting it, but it's so much work, and when I'm also filmmaking, it's just there's not enough hours in the day.
Right, I hear you. But I bet you have a cool pad. I bet you got lots of cool stuff, Jeremy.
I mean, honestly, my house is wall-to-wall, like, geek shrine. Like, if it's something to do with pop culture, like Marvel movies and Star Wars and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and horror movies as well, everything is in my house for the most part. It's every single room of my house as well.
Nice. My fiance, Danny, she got into cosplay a few years ago, her and her sister.
Mm-hmm.
They go to all these conventions, you know. It's funny because people say, wow, you don't go to a lot of these conventions. I'm like, no, that's kind of her thing, you know, and that's she's the star there. But
mm-hmm.
I certainly don't mind a house full of, you know, nice-looking gals dressing up in superheroes walking around. You know, my inner 12-year-old is like, jackpot, you're doing it right.
Right, absolutely.
You know? Yeah. I much prefer them to the art crowd any day, you know. Nobody wants
right,
to hang out
absolutely.
With turtlenecks and people going, darling, all the time. But no, she's into all this, and she brings home all kinds of stuff, because she, you know, collects all this stuff as well. And, you know,
right.
I have built many bookshelves, let me put it this way, to put
I feel your
pain. Oh, yeah, you got to store it, you know. The worst part about collectibles that nobody ever told you about is you got to dust. You got to get a feather duster.
Yes.
It's just.
Oh, my God. Yes.
It happens.
And I'm so horrible about it too, because I'm a confirmed live alone bachelor, but so it's like it's a never ending, it's a never ending battle. You've got to clean everything, and I can't.
Especially you meet that one gal, you're like, okay, she's coming over. We're gonna watch some horror movies and have dinner. It's gonna be great. Then you look around going, I gotta clean that. I gotta marine clean for 4 days before this happens.
I never worry anymore about introducing anybody to the geek collectibles. I worry about the cleanliness of everything.
Right.
If somebody's going to be coming over, I need to know 3 weeks in advance so that I could steam clean every little thing. It's insane.
I hear you. Well, Pepper doesn't mind because it's her house.
No, of course. Yeah. I mean, she licks her own butt, so,
Right, there you go. She's fine. Oh, that's fun. Oh, let's switch gears. Let's talk pickaxe. No, it was interesting because I was looking after I watched the film. I got sidetracked for a second. I did see the part three one, and I'm like, wait a second. Am I not in linear time now? What's going on? And then I'm like, oh, he's being artsy. I got it. And I love it.
Yeah. And there's been confusion about that as well, because there is actually two entries for pickaxe. There's the one that's just called Pickaxe, and then there's Pickaxe Murders Part 3. They're actually the same film. And we've actually contacted IMDb to have the accounts merged, and they just, they're slow on the on the uptake, I guess. And they just haven't gone through and approved the change. But it's been submitted. So, it's just, it's one of those, the only time it's been a problem is when we've gotten reviews where people say that it's a sequel to Pickaxe Murders Part 3. And I'm like, no, it's the exact same film. It's just a retitling. And that just proves that the reviewer didn't actually do the research. And look, I get it. We're an indie film. We don't have the squillion dollar advertising budget. The IMDb page thing, with having two entries is a little confusing, but hey, what are you going to do? Right.
Exactly. It's not a bad problem to have. I think it's fine. I don't think anybody's saying, I'm not going to watch this because of that, it's fine.
And now folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime, and treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit makingcancerhistory.com.
And it's a cool movie. Like I said, it's really a nod to the classic 80s. I wouldn't say it's a 70s slasher film because I think it's a lot more fun. It's a lot more fun, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I think, like the king of the 70s kind of killer movies. It wasn't as fun as, say, we got in the era of Friday the 13th and all of those.
Right. I love the movies from the 70s because they're very gritty and grimy and like you need to take a shower afterwards. But for me, having, I was born in 77, but I cut my teeth the films of the 80s. So the slasher franchise that's nearest and dearest to my heart is the Friday the 13th series. When I was given the opportunity to make my own slasher movie, that was my blueprint, was basically what Sean Cunningham had in mind when he set forth to make the first one. His credo And it's been reported 9 million times. His credo to Victor Miller was there needs to be either a sex scene or a death scene every 10 pages. And I took that a step further and did one every 5. And then I cut the running time way down and made it basically balls to the wall. Because I miss that sense of fun. Like, you know, the horror movies, they can be dark and depressing and amazing. Like, I mean, movies like Hereditary and Midsommar are they're the shit. But
right.
I like the other side of the spectrum, too, where it's just like just cheese and trash. You know, like, give me a good exploitation flick any day, because that's my heart. You know, so
absolutely.
I would, you know, if I come home from a piss poor day, I want to throw on something where stupid teenagers go out in the woods, have sex, do too much drugs, drink too much, and then get horribly slaughtered by somebody in a mask.
Right.
That's my sweet spot.
Exactly. And that's, you know, and it's funny if you think about it. If you think about it, one of the great appeals to watching a good, fun horror movie, slasher movie, is one of the things about horror movies in general is the audience, the viewer, puts themselves in that, what would I do in this situation? Well, I certainly wouldn't go back into that woodshed, you know, or I wouldn't go upstairs. That's where you are. Like, but it is great fun to watch other people be that stupid.
You know? It's funny because I've been asked, I don't know how many times before someone has watched Pickaxe, they've asked me, am I going to hate the characters in this? Are they going to run through the woods and fall too many times? I'm like, well, yes, it's a slasher movie.
I'm not
trying to reinvent the wheel here. I'm trying to make characters who are likable on a certain level, but you're not going to be devastated watching them die in horrible ways. You know, I mean, I love horror movies that devastate you, but I also really love horror movies where it's like, you know what? I don't care about these characters. I want to see them eviscerated. You know, like, that's the one thing that, like, the Friday the 13th remake, as much shit as it gets, those characters are trash human beings. But it's fun to watch them get eviscerated by Jason in that. Like, come on.
Well, exactly. Exactly. And that's like, you know, that's like somebody going, oh, I'm going to go to this punk rock show. Is it going to be loud and offensive?
Right.
Yes. Yes, it is. That's what it's about. That is the atomic structure of it.
Absolutely.
And slasher films. And I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this film is out at the perfect time of year because – you know, you're always going to have, and people are going to get together, they're going to come to your house for Christmas and holidays and all this and that. Mm-hmm. And you have that one uptight relative that does nothing but, you know, watch Hallmark Channel and whatnot. And that's fine.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. But when they come over, just, I mistakenly put on Pickaxe. I'm sorry. You know, and watch them, the blood drain from their face. And it'll be great.
Right.
And they'll have a good Christmas memory.
Especially the opening scene. I mean, one of the most positive reviews I've read about Pickaxe was that we didn't put any kind of pretense on it. Like, the very opening scene, there's nudity in, like, the first 2 minutes. So, because,
right.
You know, that's what these movies are. Teenagers
in
the woods, they have sex, they die. Like, it's like, I read a negative review that called us paint by numbers. I'm like, well, yeah. Like, that's what I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel. I was trying to make a love letter to those 80s slasher films that I grew up on. I actually was chastised for not putting a spin on it or not giving a big twist or whatever. And I'm like, but that wouldn't have. I wanted to evoke the spirit of those movies with Pickaxe. I wanted it to feel like it belonged on the VHS shelf, like rental store shelf, alongside Friday the 13th and The Burning, and you know, and movies of that ilk. I literally wanted it to feel like I wanted the characters to have the same kind of motivations. They're horny. They want to get drunk. They want to get stoned. They want to party, and they're not paying attention that there's some dude out in the woods stalking them.
Well, exactly, exactly. And, you know, plot twists are fine. There was one great 80s horror movie with a plot twist, you know, that everybody,
yeah.
And you know what? Nobody liked it when that happened. We were all mortified. We're like, oh, no,
yep.
That's not good.
I know exactly the one you're talking about.
Exactly. Everybody was like, what the hell? What is this?
Yeah.
You know, but the thing is I... Critics be damned, or I don't even know. It's not even the critics. You're getting some great critical accolades on this and whatnot. You know, armchair critics be damned, I should say.
Yeah.
They're not all bad. They're not all bad. And, no. You know, they have their place. It's the thing is, what amazes me with film is, and especially in the era we live, the streaming era, you know, I literally have access in my home to all of film that has ever been made, you know, at the push of a button. And anymore, not even the push of a button. I just have to tell my Google Mini what to put on, and it comes on. And the thing is, if you don't like something, you don't dig something, you know, you'll know 15 minutes in to something if you're like, well, this ain't my cup of tea. Well, watch something else then, man. That's all you got to do.
And you know,
it ain't a big thing.
It's interesting to me too, because you touched on a subject that is one area that I get very passionate about, and that's streaming versus physical media. And I'm okay with both. However, I push very hard for physical media because in this day and age, still not everyone in this country has decent enough internet to make streaming a viable option. Case in point. The town that I live in, until 3 months ago, had no internet capability for streaming. There literally you had the possibility of satellite internet, which is extremely expensive, and they throttle you if you hit a certain data cap, or you could use a wireless hotspot, which also has a data cap. So when everybody was going on and on and on about how great to use a perfect example, Daredevil season one, which was now how many years ago? 3-4 years ago? When it first came out, everybody was going on and on about how great it was. So they would ask me, have you watched it? Have you watched it? And at the time I had not. However, I did have a mobile hotspot, and I said, you know what? I'm going to give it a whirl. I streamed the first season of Daredevil legally on Netflix. And after I was done, I was done within 2 days of those 13 episodes or however many it was. My data cap was gone. I no longer could use my internet for the entire month. And how am I supposed to consume countless hours of entertainment unless I have a physical version? And that's why I try to encourage as many people as I can. If you're going to watch Pickaxe, watch it however you're going to watch it, okay? Legally, of course. Please buy it, rent it, whatever you need to do off of Amazon or Google Play. It's on a ton of different streaming sites, legally. But buy a physical copy. Then when these streaming sites decide Pickaxe is no longer making them money, they're going to get rid of it. If you have the DVD, no one's going to take it from you. They're not going to burst into your house and with a gun and force you to give up your DVD. Plus, if you buy the physical version, send me your cover and I will sign it for free. Or better yet, buy it direct from me and I will send it to you. Postage paid.
That's amazing. You know, and the thing is, one of the things, when I was a kid, way back when I was watching these 80s horror movies, my plan, Jeremy, as you know, I'm a painter. It's what I do for a living. I paint pictures for a living.
Right.
And my plan was I wanted to move to Hollywood and paint album covers. That was the plan, man. Mm-hmm. That was what I wanted to do. And then the albums went away. They're starting to come back now, but, a long time they weren't there. And, you know, that didn't happen and whatnot. But it really gave me an appreciation of vinyl and physical media, exactly what you're talking about. I like 100%. Looking at the box and looking at the and having it. And, you know, I'll tell you something about these smart houses and streaming and all this and that. A couple weeks ago, about a month ago, we have the top of the line everything. We've got, you know, we can do all this stuff. And that's great. until the internet went out, not from anything in our property, but down by the road at the AT&T box and everything. They had to redo it all. So for four days, we couldn't do anything because everything was connected to the house. I mean, we were literally like almost, you know, it was boring as heck around here. all of our music, and, you know, but not really because I had my record player and I had my vinyl and, we could keep entertained. But, I can see where people, that could be a problem, And I bet you there are a lot. It's great that you're thinking that way because I know people that make websites and stuff and they make them all fancy and they got all this bells and whistles. And then there's somebody, a customer or a viewer or whatever, out in the middle of nowhere that can't watch that because they don't have the computer power to see all that. And you're missing 100%. An opportunity to connect with that person. And you're thinking on these terms, and I think that's smart. I think that is smart. Yeah,
again, like you said, I keep hearing these stories about the one that springs to mind right now is Ultraviolet. Ultraviolet was this supposedly great service where you could have digital copies of the movies that you buy physically, and you could keep them indefinitely on a cloud. Well, what happened? Ultraviolet died. Ultraviolet suddenly had to email everybody and say, you're going to lose your content unless you move it over to another site. Well, what happens when that one goes down? You have to move it over. Or they just decide to stop supporting it, and then you can't access the film that you paid for. If people read these end-user license agreements, you don't actually own the movie. You have the right to view it on their cloud system as long as you want, as long as the cloud system exists. The second it doesn't exist, you're screwed. I've bought countless songs from Amazon, and this is, I would prefer to have physical CDs at this point, but they're getting harder and harder to come by. Thankfully, vinyl and stuff is coming back. But for convenience, I do have Amazon Music on my phone, and I buy all my music. However, even if I've bought it, at some point, if Amazon no longer supports it, they can take it away from me. And I pay for Amazon Prime, which means I get 10,000, 10 million, however many it is, songs for free until it's no longer on that service. I've got playlists that have 500 songs on them, and 250 of them are grayed out, and I can't access them because Amazon no longer supports them. That's not owning music. That's not owning content. You're only renting it, essentially. You've paid a one-time fee to have it indefinitely until they decide they can take it away from you. That's not how this should work. I'm all for people having streaming services. I'm all for people having that as an option, as long as it's a viable option. Physical media, however, it's going to deteriorate over time, but that's why you should be able to replace it and so on and so forth. And a new version is going to come out, HD, DVD, and Blu-ray, and all that good stuff. But you've got to have the options. When people turn their back on the options, that's when things get dangerous. And that's what I rail against repeatedly. That and piracy are the two biggest sticking points for me as a filmmaker and as a consumer.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Right now at Sprint, get any next-generation Samsung Galaxy phone and get the new Galaxy S10e to use on us with Sprint Flex Lease. The Galaxy S10e has a pro-grade camera for effortless pro-quality images. Visit a local Sprint store, sprint.com/Samsung, or call 800-SPRINT-1. Galaxy S10e, $31.25 per month. Second phone, $0 per month after $31.25 per month credit. Apply within 2 bills. Requires 2 new lines and 18-month leases. If you cancel early, remaining balance due. Excludes tax, subject to credit, $30 activation fee and restrictions. Offer and coverage not everywhere.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. there's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beatty, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are two separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another, a friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Ruxgear, the online webshop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierox.us.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny because people are like, oh, well, these big companies, you know, they're going to be around for, I'll tell you, I was just before, right before we came on the air, I was reading in Variety. Today, they just announced the, they're shuttering Marvel TV, you know, because it's all under the Disney umbrella and everything. And everybody's like, well, you know, that's Marvel, folks. Yeah. That's Disney. Saying, you know what, we're not going to go this direction. We're going to go that direction. Mm-hmm. Things change on every level. And if you own it, if you own Cats, why you can, and you got a good date coming over. That's a great movie to put on. You can just whip that out. You have the Blu-ray. There you go. You're all set. Don't be embarrassed in front of your date. Have the physical copy. Oh, man. I love it. I love it.
Plus,
now, this is
what are horror conventions? What are horror conventions going to do in a few years if we do nothing but streaming? Are people going – you can't get a digital copy signed. You know, like, I want my DVD cover signed. I want my VHS signed. I want my one sheet, the 27 by 41. Give me the classic one sheet. I want something physical, you know?
Oh, it's true. It's true. And, you know, it's so it's definitely something to keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen. And, you know, you can pick up – Pickaxe is out everywhere. You can buy that DVD. What are you in all the big retail outlets and whatnot? But I tell you, Jeremy's right. I'll tell everybody, no, I'm not going to break the big secret. I don't know what it is for film, but I do know for music. You would be amazed. Ladies and gentlemen, do a little Google search and you know, look up iTunes and what the artist gets. I'm not putting Apple down. They got to make their money. You would be amazed at how lopsided that formula is there. And I imagine film, it's similar. I imagine with film, when people stream something, you know, you get X amount, and you get a bigger amount if they buy it direct. I'm sure of that.
And that's unfortunately, that's just the nature of the beast.
Right.
You know, that's what grinds my gears about piracy in particular. I was once having a chat with this woman who knew I was a filmmaker, and she bragged how her and her boyfriend, partner, husband, whatever, I can't remember at this point, they watched all of their movies on torrent sites. That's how they got their entertainment. Was torrent. They did not think it was remotely bad. And I stopped the conversation and said, okay, we have got a fundamental difference of opinion here. Okay, I'm a filmmaker. What you are doing affects my bottom line, period, full stop, end of story. And she compared me to Disney and said, well, Disney isn't going to hurt if I download Aladdin. And I'm like, well, maybe not. If you're talking about a multi-squillion dollar company. But if you download Pickaxe, You are literally taking money from everybody who busted their ass to make this film. And it's not
right.
a small number either. But we're working with budgets that are so minuscule. I mean, like a day on Aladdin, the craft budget is probably what we spent making our film. So
right.
if you download it illegally, ultimately Disney is not going to see any negative for a very long time. But if you turn around and do the same to Pickaxe, we're going to feel it immediately. And Pickaxe is up on all kinds of torrent sites. And we do what we can to get them shut down and more pop up. So all
right,
I ask
hard,
to everybody is to buy the film in any legal capacity, even if it means spending the $3 to rent it on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
That money gets its way to the distributor. The distributor can continue to put out quality content, and filmmakers can continue to make our films. That and
right.
that's like I don't understand why that's not like why that's so controversial to say, you know? And I'm just like I'm dumbfounded because
it's
if
a generation
it were not
of
for it,
masters, you know, it's these
yeah,
people that think
and
that they're
you know,
entitled to free
yeah,
art, and they're not. You know,
no,
they're not.
Nobody. And look, if I decide as a filmmaker, if I decided to make my next film and release it for free, that's my choice. If
right.
I released it to sell and some asshole puts it up on a torrent site, they are stealing that choice from me. They are taking money literally directly out of my pocket. Now, I don't have a family.
Absolutely.
The only person I have to support is myself. But God damn
right.
it, I want to be able to eat. So,
exactly.
you know, that's why so many people have to work these insane day jobs even while they're trying to make their art. Like, we're not all Quentin Tarantino. We're not all Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio. We don't make
right.
$25-30 million just because we opened our eyes in the morning. You know, in a lot of respects, we actually wind up paying to make these films. And if you put it up on a torrent site, you are literally giving me the giant middle finger. And that is a direct insult to me, and I have no use for you.
Absolutely. Jeremy, I used to live a pretty fast life. I'll just say that. I was living out in California.
Sure.
So me and some friends were going out clubbing, and we were at this crazy club. And one of the things in LA, when you leave the club, there's always a bunch of, usually good-looking gals outside the club with flyers getting you to go to other clubs. That's just how that goes.
Yeah.
So this gal hands me a flyer. I look at it, and one of my paintings is on the flyer. And I said, man, I better not pay the cover to get in here. Pissed me off. I'm like, what is this? You know, if the thing is, if they would have asked me, I probably would have said, yeah, go ahead and use it. That's cool, man. As a matter of fact, I'll blast it out. But when you just steal from you, and there's, you work hard on this stuff. And a movie,
yeah.
I mean, making a movie and making that happen and getting all these people involved and just, I can't even imagine. Don't steal from people. You know, ladies and gentlemen, who are listening, I know I rant and rave about this a lot, but it's something worth ranting and raving about. When you it's wrong. It's right. You wouldn't like if I went in your house and took your shit. You know, you just wouldn't.
Right.
You'd probably call
the analogy that I see so often is I wouldn't walk into Walmart and steal a TV and not expect to be prosecuted. And of course,
right.
they can't quantify that because they're like, well, this is – it's ephemera. The movie doesn't actually exist except in a digital form. You're just going to watch it on TV. It's not a tangible thing. And I'm like, but it is. Like, do you realize how many hundreds of thousands of man hours go into all of these films? All the equipment ain't free. You know, the food that we provide for our cast and crew ain't free. Gas money
right.
to get the set ain't free. You know,
no.
I mean, we all deserve to be compensated fairly for what the services that we provide. But entertainment has by and large been ignored by the general public as being a quote unquote, not a real job, which
right.
bugs me to no end because I have worked harder.
Enjoy. And it's everybody works. Because people saying this, work a job, they come home and they sit down on their couch and they click it on and they watch a film or they watch, you know, whatever, The Mandalorian. I'm telling you, it's, you know, if you went and stole
that
from them,
go away.
They would have a whole different. Oh, yeah.
Right.
And you know,
it's
funny that lady's saying that. I will tell you this. If Disney finds out he's doing that, ooh, baby, they ain't going to say, oh, well, whatever, you know.
Hey, I've had friends lose internet privileges because they've downloaded stuff from one of those big companies. And I don't know how it got found out, but they got their damn internet service taken away because they downloaded a TV show. So don't tell me that there's not consequences. You know, I wish that there was a better way to enforce these laws rape is illegal. Murder is illegal. All these things are illegal and people still do them. So I don't think you're going to stop people doing it. But there needs to be more severe penalties for dumb fucks who think they are entitled to it.
Exactly. Exactly. And they, you know, they need to go after, and I know they do to an extent go after these torrent sites and whatnot. But, you know, usually, you know, as soon as they take one down, two more pop up. Yeah, it's a real scourge. It's a real scourge. And that's
the thing. Like, people say, like, well, you're not going to stop it, so why bother? Well, if I don't try to stop it, then it's just going to be even more rampant. That's literally what people are telling me is, oh, well, murder is illegal, but you're not going to stop it. Well, what on what planet does that analogy make any sense? Right? So it's illegal.
Yeah. I hear you, man. I hear you. I get worked up. You know, and it's so true. And people do it too. It's not just music. They do it with movies like we're talking about here. It's just really just, you know what? I will say this, ladies and gentlemen, if you know, the people that are listening to this, if I find out you're doing that, well, we ain't cool anymore. You're not my friend anymore. I don't want nothing to do with you because it's just a trashy, shitty thing to do. And you know,
I've heard people literally use the excuse that they can't afford the DVD or can't afford the streaming service or whatever. And I'm like, then you don't get that entertainment. Like, there's no, like, my God, there's no shame in that. Like, I can't afford a Lamborghini. That doesn't give me the right to go and steal one.
Jeremy, this is so weird. We are on the same wavelength. I had that thought internally right as you were saying it. I was like, but I had a Ferrari. I was thinking Ferrari, but no, I'd rather actually have a
Lamborghini. Again, we're back to the 80s. It was all about the Lamborghini Countach.
That's right.
Like, that was my dream car. Was I was going to own a Lamborghini Countach.
Exactly. Well, you know, because it was angled and whatnot, which was funny because I think that's kind of why I like that Elon Musk truck, because it had those Lamborghini angles to it.
That
I'm
looks
so
like
tired
something
of
out of Road Warrior. I am all about that. Like, come on.
Exactly. Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Well, Jeremy, we're right up against, you know, we've been talking and having so much fun. It was so funny, ladies and gentlemen, before we came on the air. Me and Jeremy are talking. I'm like, oh yeah, well, it'll be quick. We won't stay that long. Here it is. We close up to an hour here.
That happens.
And I want to go for hour two. No, we can't do it tonight. But I've had so much fun tonight. Jeremy.
Me too, man.
Keep making these films. Any plans on the next project? I got to ask before we wrap things up.
There's a film that I've wanted to make pretty much even before I like dove head first into film. It's a movie that's near and dear to my heart. It's a very touching, heartwarming coming of age tale about a young boy. And I'm totally kidding. It is absolutely 1,000% balls to the wall, boobs and blood and nastiness. The way that I pitch it to people is it's satanic snot monsters versus strippers. Now that's not the title, but it is the movie that I've wanted to make since even before I dove into film. When I was just starting out screenwriting, that's the one that I wanted to make. And the plan is to, film it next summer. I'm working on some stuff right now to make that happen. It may be late summer,
right.
Especially because being in Texas, summer is very, very hot. So it may be later in summer. But the plan is to, for the first part of the year, go to all these horror conventions that will have me and let me promote the hell out of Pickaxe and get these DVDs sold.
Right.
And then really crank up on pre-production at the beginning of this coming year, which is not long at all. But hopefully we'll be rolling by the end of summer, rather.
Nice.
Hopefully I'll have more to announce sooner rather than later as well.
Well, I think it's brilliant, and not a lot of people, and you're seeing the vision here. You're seeing it. Strippers in horror movies is a fantastic idea, and I'll tell you why. High heels, I would assume, are hard to run in, and, you know, the killer can catch up fast. you know, it's brilliant, and not bad to watch. Brilliant. I love it. I love it. Well, hey, whatever I can do to help, man, let me know. You know, if you wind up doing a crowdfunding or something, let me know. I'll throw a painting towards that. I'll do a
yeah, absolutely, man. I'm sure we'll wind up doing something of the sort.
I hear you. Well, very cool, ladies and gentlemen. The name of the movie is Pickaxe. We've got links up to Jeremy's. You have a film production company, First Week of Winter Films, I believe it. So we have a link to that where you can find out more about Pickaxe and get Pickaxe. And we also have a link to the Facebook page of Pickaxe. And both have a little thing where you can hit that message and you know, say, hey, send me a copy. Send me a signed copy, Jeremy. And he will.
Absolutely. And I accept PayPal. I accept Cash App. I accept Zelle. And in some cases, I'll even accept nudes.
There you go. I love it. Oh, that's funny. That is awesome. Well, Jeremy, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to be on the show. I really appreciate it. And I can't wait till you're on again.
Thank you, man.
You were so much fun tonight.
I appreciate it, man. Seriously. I mean, you know, it's, the promotional cycle is very much a necessary thing, especially when it comes to indie films. So the more of these things that I can do, the happier everybody's going to be.
Oh, fantastic. And we will see you next time. This episode, ladies and gentlemen, we're coming to an end. We will be back next time. I know if you've looked at my website, it looks like I'm not having any more shows this week. Like I said at the beginning of this episode, this week's real hard for me. I'm painting a lot. I feel like I'm surrounded by canvases right now. As we speak, it's crazy in here. But it's that time of year. So we will be back. I know for sure there's talk about doing a show this weekend, but that's not set in stone yet. But we will definitely be back on Tuesday of next a week from today. And we've got a fantastic metal band on called Corners of Sanctuary. And it's a Christmas show. They have some metal, original Christmas music we're going to be playing. And so we will see you then. Have a great one, everybody. Get over there, like and share, facebook.com/pickaxemovie. Very, very important. This episode, of course, will be converted to a podcast and pushed out on all the various social media platforms and all the podcasting platforms. So stay tuned for that. That'll be happening in about an hour. And we will see you next time. Thanks again, Jeremy.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.